Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. And now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 6th day of July, Anno Domini 2019, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, and nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. First, I hope you all had a great 4th. And you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
And Canada Day was on the 1st.
Canada.
I can't remember the rest of the song.
Glorious and free.
And what was the other one I read? Bahama Independence is on the 10th.
Ooh.
So
we should go. We should. The studio should send us to the Bahamas.
July was
to help
a really
celebrate.
Bad,
yeah.
To help them celebrate.
July was a really bad month for England in many different years.
Well, if these past few weeks felt like the sky was falling, you weren't alone. In the past month, there were several major internet outages affecting millions of users across the world. Sites buckled, services broke, images wouldn't load, direct messages ground to a halt, dogs and cats living together, calendars and emails were unavailable for hours at a time. It is not believed any single event tied the outages together, more so just terrible luck for all involved. It started on June 2nd. A massive Google Cloud outage took out service for most of the U.S. East Coast. Many third-party sites like Discord, Snap, and Vimeo, as well as several of Google's own services like Gmail and Nest, were affected. On June 24th, Cloudflare dropped 15% of its global traffic during an hours-long outage because of a network route leak. Amazon, Linode, and other major companies reliant on Cloudflare's infrastructure also ground to a halt. A week later, on July 2nd, Cloudflare was hit by a second outage, this time caused by an internal code push that went badly. In a blog post, Cloudflare's chief technology officer, John Graham Cumming, blamed the half-hour outage on a rogue bit of regex code in its web... Never, ever use regex. In its web firewall that was bad and caused its processors to spike across its machines worldwide, effectively crippling the entire service. If somebody ever says to you, we can fix this with regex, just slap them. Google, not wanting to be outdone by Cloudflare, was hit... Thank you. Except for that time.
Okay.
Was hit by another outage on July 2nd thanks to physical damage to a fiber cable in its U.S. East Coast region. The destruction lasted about 6 hours. Then Facebook and its entire portfolio of services, including WhatsApp and Instagram, stumbled along for 8 hours during July 3rd as its shared content delivery network was hit by downtime. Images and videos across the services wouldn't load. At about the same time, Twitter, too, had to face the music, admitting in a tweet that direct messages were broken. Then came Apple's turn. On July 4th, iCloud was hit by a three-hour nationwide outage, affecting almost every part of its cloud-based service, from the App Store, Apple ID, Apple Pay, and Apple TV. In some cases, users couldn't access their cloud-based email or photos. It was a rough month for a lot of people. Points to Cloudflare and Google for explaining what happened and why, less so to Apple, Facebook, and Twitter, all of which barely acknowledge their issues. So, we do have a forum up. We still don't have a poll, but I don't like them. I don't like any of the ones I've seen.
So write your own.
I have in the past done so.
How about in regex?
I will hurt you. I will slap you. But we do have a forum post up under if you scroll down at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you, if you scroll down on the right under fascinating stuff, you'll see the forums. And the first forum down is the show discussion, and it's under there this time. It's 6 July 19, internet outages galore. And of course, you can give us a call and tell us, what did you do during the great internet outages of 2019, Grandpa? Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Thinking of Frances, too bad we couldn't find out who she actually is for our 30th.
I really, that would be great. I really don't. I didn't keep the email and I should have. But just think of it. Over the month, Google, Cloudflare, Amazon, Linode, Discord, Snap, Vimeo, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, and everything at Apple. And that's not all of them. Those are just the most well-known ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really was a huge series of outages.
Facebook and all that, and all the images were gone.
TechCrunch
has an article. It was a really bad month for the internet.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing you do want to be aware of course, is that you can look this stuff up. There is a site called downdetector.com. And at downdetector.com, I don't need to... I can't spell it. There it is. But you can go there and it will tell you what's up, what's down. It'll say, you know, right now, for example, Gmail is having a problem. Verizon is just coming off a problem. Facebook is a problem. Snapchat had a problem. YouTube had a little problem.
I heard this on a podcast when they were complaining about Google being down. But in all of Google's services that were down, Google Plus was still up.
Yes. The one they killed is still up.
Yeah.
Most
of what Down Detector does is they accept submissions from other sources. And
right.
Their biggest source is Twitter.
Yes.
So when people start tweeting, is Gmail down, is Gmail down, is Gmail down, Gmail's probably down.
Yeah, right, exactly, and that's how they do it.
But when Twitter goes down, what do they do?
Right. Well, they do have other ways to figure it out. What amused me yesterday was I was talking to a friend on the phone, and I said, I'll send you that in an email as soon as my internet comes back up. And, of course, he's been angry that I've got...
Green light. 80%.
80% in your neighborhood. And so he started going, aha, so green light is down, aha. And I said, no, the power is out in my house.
You don't have a UPS on your router?
I do not have a UPS on my router.
Because my laptop has like an 8-hour battery in it.
Well, yes, but my router does not. And I will be changing that.
Yes.
But, I said, no, it's not... Green light, as far as I know, green light is fine. What's down is my house.
And you were using Gmail, which was down.
Which was down. Any mail. I couldn't get off my house. I couldn't get out of my house. But it came back about 2 minutes later, and everything was fine, so I knew it wasn't green light. It was just my house. But it was very weird. Two blips. Well, one short outage and a blip. It was very weird yesterday. Usually I get nothing.
I didn't notice... anything was down. So I wasn't using any of the services when they were down.
Yeah. Clearly, you have to stop having a life.
Yeah. There's that.
There's that. But yeah, so Fitbit has an issue right now.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so you can go to downdetector.com, and you can see everything that's down. And of course, on any of those links, you can click on it and actually see... what seems to be going on. For example, Citi, which is Citibank, has 299 reports right now. That's that's a problem. And in fact, you can actually report a problem right there on the website. You can once you get to the Citi page, you can, for example, click the red button that says, I have a problem with Citi. And 52% of the people are saying it's a website issue. 26% saying it's online banking. I'm not sure what the difference there is. And 20% are saying mobile banking, which would be out of your phone, but probably goes to the same server. But at any rate, so you can easily see what's up, what's down.
Oh, my God. Outlook. Outlook's having a problem. That's not too bad. Netflix is having a problem.
That could be bad.
Yeah.
So you can see what...
at about 2000 hours last night, there was a problem.
Yeah. 10 o'clock last night.
And you can see when people went to bed.
Right. And the problem question, yep. The report started dropping. Yeah,
and now when people are getting up again.
But yeah, so you can see many, many things. So before you start calling around to people or posting on Facebook or doing whatever it is you're doing that you know, screams, oh my God, my internet is blah, blah, blah. Is everything broken? Check Down Detector. It'll tell you. Pretty clearly what's up, what's down, you know. So for example, PayPal right now, 6 reports. Well, probably not a lot of people having problems, but there are 6 reports.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a live outage map, by the way, which I also, which I really like. If you're a Straight Talk wireless person, for example, there's a couple issues right now. But there is a live outage map that shows what's out where for the service you're looking at. So you'd see a different one for Straight Talk than you would for, I don't know, something else. It's actually pretty cool. It's a pretty cool site, and they do a pretty decent job of keeping things up to date. For example, Straight Talk. It appears much of the East is having an issue right now.
Spectrum, one of our local internet providers here, is also having problems all over the country, but mostly on the East.
Yeah.
So then you start to look at maybe one of the trunk lines on the East Coast is having a problem. So a backhoe dug where they shouldn't have, or somebody typed in a routing protocol and transposed to it.
Regex. Regex. Regex is, I know any number of people who say they are Regex gurus, and all of them get it wrong with sad regularity. There's a test site. There are a number of test sites up on the internet where you can test your... Regex stands for regular expression, and it's this arcane series of parentheses and dashes and asterisks and things that... that let you do some really very powerful things. You know, let's say you have a list of stuff. You use regexes anytime you do a dir space star.com, say, right? If you do a directory, you search out all your .coms or .docs. That's actually a regex. The asterisk means anything.com. Right, or .doc. That's a very simple example of a regex. Well, you can do some really amazingly powerful things with regex, but you can also screw things up so very royally.
With great power comes great responsibility.
With great power comes great chance to screw up is actually how that works. Oh, they actually have an Alexa skill. That's very cool. Actually,
Alexa, open paren, question mark.
No, less no, than not regex. Equal. I was talking about down detector.
I want a regex for Alexa.
I want a regex skill for Alexa. Holy moly. Somebody's going to get to work on that right away.
And then have it come back with snarky wrong answers.
That part I could write. Alexa Max says, the hell is wrong with you?
It's Steve Ray. You haven't learned over all these years? What were you? Did you bump your head or something?
Exactly. But
not enough
coffee. Not enough coffee. There's no such thing as enough coffee. But lots of sites are down a little bit. So you want to be very careful. You want to be aware, at least. And the easiest way to be aware... And it does everything, World of Warcraft and Fortnite and everything else. So you just have to look through. Unfortunately, they're not in any sort of order. So American Express, for example, which starts with an A, way down the list.
I think they're in the order of the number of reports.
It's very possible.
Because the graph is a little lower as you get down farther.
Right, right. So you may have to look down a ways to get stuff. But in Tietam Broadband, is having a problem. But yeah, so a lot of Apple Music having some trouble. So you can find all kinds of cool things. It's downdetector.com, RuneScape. Oh my gosh, RuneScape.
RuneScape still exists?
Still exists, and it's having a problem. So maybe it doesn't exist anymore. Many places do have their own status pages, so you can go there as well. But if you're particularly interested in something, it's a lot easier often to find it at downdetector.com than it is to find the page and something else. Yeah, G Suite has their own status board.
Yeah.
I forget what it is. What is it?
Status. That's not where I went to. So the search query came back with /app status. And when you go there, there's a whole bunch of stuff after that.
Right, but Google does have their own dashboard.
Yeah.
And you can tell what's up and what's down and everything else. So bookmarking these pages, keeping them handy for yourself, can save you a lot of wondering what's going on when you suddenly can't get to a spot. Check Down Detector before you start making phone calls or posting insane things on Twitter and whatever and Facebook. Is it down for you too? Because it's down for me. Yeah, it's down for, well, everybody. Look at the site. So you can do a little bit of your own research and a little bit of your own vetting before you start
worrying.
Making that, making those things. But of course, you can also give us a call.
Read a book.
Read a book.
Listen to the radio.
Yeah.
Actual
like
DJ
you're listening to
radio.
Us. There's more radio on during the week than just us.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly on this station, some of the best jazz you'll hear anywhere.
And one of the few jazz stations still left in the U.S.
More importantly, one of the few stations anywhere with live DJs, live local DJs.
Mm-hmm.
You get people who know this area and know what they're talking about and very knowledgeable about the music they play and it's very cool. It's very, very cool.
Well, even the support, I mean, just the numbers alone show, I mean, they had over 200,000 plus come to this year's Jazz Festival.
And if every one of them had put a dollar in the jar.
Even half of them.
Even half a buck, but a dollar. Put a dollar in the jar.
Even if half of them had put in, you know, husband and wife team, they
right.
put in $1. That's two people, but still in all, if just half of that, because it was 200,000 plus.
Right.
I want to say I heard a number. I think it's around 218,000 came to this year's Jazz Festival.
And how are they not all members of the station?
Really, if they enjoy jazz that much, I just don't get it. And, we've been preaching for years now since we've been here that if everybody just had gone by and dropped $1 in, our pledge drives would be something to the past.
Right.
That would be such a great thing to all of a sudden have happen that, we never have to worry about that again.
Yep. And they do say that, the people who listen to this show are not necessarily jazz listeners, but I bet many of them are because jazz listeners are smart.
Mm-hmm.
Just a known
just a fact.
How do you even
The concept of jazz is very broad anyway. So
right.
You get a lot of blues, you'll get,
Bluegrass.
Jazz infused rock.
Yeah, fusion.
Right, fusion yeah. Various types of fusion stuff.
Well, that's the whole thing. I tried to explain it to folks, because they can understand this a little bit better. You know how country western music has gone and it's wide, totally changed. Jazz is the same way. It has gone that way too. You should give it a listen. But that's the whole problem. A lot of people think, jazz, you got to listen to it. To see how they've expanded as much as country western has.
Right. Right. It's exactly right. so you can find, you get the a cappella group, Home Free. They call themselves a western group, but the reality is they do a lot of jazz. And that sort of thing is fairly common now, that you have that sort of fusion, Western jazz fusion sort of thing going on.
And the station still sponsors the local Jazz on the Lawn. Coming up on July 23rd, the Brockport Big Band is going to be doing Jazz on the Lawn out here in front of the school.
I'll be there.
I think they come inside if it's threatening to rain.
Yeah, I certainly hope so.
The 78 RPM band is coming on August 15th. What happens if you set it to 33 and a third?
Yeah, somebody, it's a longer concert.
Yeah.
Somebody texted, actually, for DIR, it's the star is a globe. Star is regex is zero, or more accurate, occurrences of or previous regex.
Oh my gosh, a regex geek actually texted us to tell me that the very simple example I gave is 100% accurate. You're absolutely right.
716er.
You're right. It is not 100% accurate, but I really didn't want to go all the way there. Wasn't part of my plan to go all the way there.
Well, you know, our listeners are,
God bless every one of them,
don't want to make sure, you know, want to make sure that, you know, we don't put out the wrong information or inaccurate information.
Right.
And that's fine.
That's perfectly fine.
We have always said we don't know it all, but that's where some of our listeners have helped out too.
Yep. Yeah, I have. I used to think of myself as a regex wizard too, although I haven't done regex stuff in a very long time. I used to be able to just rip that stuff out and then test it and test it and test it before I put it into production.
many
years ago. But yeah, on June 23rd, I'll be at Jazz on the Lawn. I'm going to be helping out there, so stop by and say hello. Throw a buck in the jar. We'll be on our way. Jazz on the Lawn is a very cool thing. And who's on the 23rd?
The Brockport Big Band.
Brockport Big Band. That's right. Man, they're good too. So that'll be a fun event.
And it's free.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 29 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Rich from Irondequoit, New York on the line. Hi, Rich. What's up? Rich?
We surprised him by finishing the sponsor break.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
There we are.
Windows 7, Google Chrome, every time I click onto it. Yes.
Yeah, turn your radio off, please.
Turn the radio off.
Yes.
Or down, at least.
Yeah, because there's a delay. So what you're hearing us say over the phone,
if I do, the question goes away.
Yeah, here's the thing. Rich, you cannot have the phone, the radio on while you're talking to us on the phone. You must turn off your radio because there's a delay, and you will get very confused. Okay, bye-bye.
Sorry. Yeah, when we talk to you over the radio, and then you're trying to talk to us on the phone, and then on the radio says what we just said, and then it goes back.
Yeah, it gets
phone
confusing.
And,
they're trying to listen to themselves on the radio, and it just won't work because we are in a 10-second delay.
Right, and so they don't know which one to respond to.
Right,
but we can't wait 10 seconds in between question and the start of the answer. So. Rich, if you want to turn off your radio and call back, that would be great.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Otherwise, anybody else can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
It sounds like he was having a problem with Google Chrome and Windows 7.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that, yes, that is a thing.
Yes, it is a thing. The problem is nobody supports Windows 7 anymore.
And it may be one of the extensions that you have loaded is no longer compatible with Windows 7.
Right.
There's a key, is it shift key, where you launch Chrome with no extensions?
When you double click on it, hold down, I believe it is the shift key.
They call it a safe launch, which then doesn't load any extensions.
Right.
So that you can see if that's the issue that you're having.
Right.
Or turn off all the extensions and slowly turn them back on one at a time.
Right, right. You can do that as well. But the reality is that...
One of them is causing an issue.
One of them is causing an issue, or the thing itself is causing an issue. But I believe Chrome itself does continue to work with Windows 7.
Yeah,
but the problem is many of the extensions do not, because nobody tests on Windows 7 anymore because it's been dead for a decade. So it's nobody tests with it. Nobody
not dead yet.
Yeah, you're right. Well, that's the thing. It isn't dead yet, but because it's officially dead, nobody checks against it anymore. And if there is a problem, they don't really care.
Well, I know we use we're still on Windows 7 at work. And they're using Chrome far more than Internet Explorer, because Internet Explorer is, best describe it, junk.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is Microsoft has admitted that, and the new version of Edge is based on Chromium. So the new Microsoft Edge is essentially Google Chrome.
Okay, hold on.
Which is quite interesting.
Right.
But one of the things they did do... because a lot of corporate people are still using Internet Explorer, there is a way to launch IE 11 as a sandbox tab inside of Edge.
Right.
So all of your old enterprise apps that they haven't bothered upgrading yet can still work.
Right. All right. We do have Rich from Irondequoit here on the line. How are you, Rich?
I'm better now. I hope. I apologize for that screw up.
No, it's okay. Everybody does it once in a while. I just have to remember. And this is true for everybody. Take a tip from Rich and turn your radio off when you get on the air.
Indeed, do that, please. Okay, here we go. Windows 7, I got the screen open. Google Chrome, I click on it, and every time I get a message from them, user account control, do you want to allow the following program to make changes to this computer? Google Chrome, verified publisher, file origin, hard drive on this computer. Every time that pops up, you know, I say yes or no, either one, and then I can go on my business. How can I get rid of that message?
It sounds like it's the user access controls. That should only come up once.
Every time I turn on my computer, it pops up, regardless of whether I say yes or no to make changes.
Yeah, every single time.
Yes. And there are no changes made. I don't see where they've done anything different.
It may be trying to become your default browser.
Okay. Yeah, I could say yes to that, but it will come up again. Then underneath that, it says change when these notifications appear in blue.
Yeah, you can do that. You can have it not make those changes.
I just tapped on it, and I get this user account control settings with an always notify and a never notify, and I can slide this thing up and down.
Is it setting just Chrome, or is that setting for all apps?
Right.
That's what I would be worried about.
I see.
What I would suggest before you do that, I would again suggest that you you turn off all the extensions.
Turn off extensions, okay.
Right, and boot that way. It may be that one of your extensions is trying to make changes.
I don't understand that.
Okay, what happens is this. There are add-ons you can put into Chrome.
Okay.
And they are called extensions.
And how do I turn them off?
There are a couple of ways to do that.
Especially there's some malicious extensions that sneak in too.
Right.
We'll post a link up, but if you go to the hamburger or the three dot icon, there is a tools command that will bring up your the list of the extensions you have loaded.
Okay, this is under, okay, I see the three dots.
Yeah, pull
and
that.
And what word did you say?
More tools.
Got it.
And then extensions.
Got it.
And then that will show you the extensions you have loaded in your computer, well, in your Chrome.
Oh, there seems to be probably more than four.
Yeah.
Adobe, Acrobat, AOL, Coupon Flash, Avast, Passwords, all that stuff.
Coupon Flash is probably not a good one. The extensions sneak in claiming to be one thing. You know, they want to give you coupons, right? But in order to give you coupons, they watch every website you go to, report that back to their master, and then send you more ads.
Right. So one thing
okay,
you might
I don't
do,
like that thing anyway.
Yeah.
But it says details are removed.
You can click remove. Well, the first thing you should do is turn them all off. That's the little blue switch in the lower right corner of each one.
Okay, it's all gray. So presumably they are all off. Google Docs offline is on. Google Docs offline.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Is there a little message that says your extensions are being managed by an enterprise or something like that? Near the top, yeah.
Oh, at the top.
Because there's some malicious...
Developer mode, extensions, three little lines for extensions. Should I open up that main menu, maybe?
Well, that's where we're at. I've seen extensions that turn off mobile management, so you can't disable your extensions.
Okay. I don't see that, but I see Docs is on, Sheets is on, Slides is on, whatever that means.
So what you want to do is turn them all off.
Turn them all off. Okay, I shall do that.
Yep. Then exit Chrome and restart it and see if the message goes away. If it does, then one of the ones that was on is causing that message to appear.
I see.
And then the way you discover which one it is, you turn one on, you exit Chrome, you restart Chrome.
I see.
Turn on the next one, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So you can probably start by removing all of them you don't really want anymore.
Right. Start with that.
Yeah.
Like that coupon thing or whatever. But you can just do that and see if that helps. With some of them, try that. See if that works.
Okay.
If it doesn't work, then try turning them all off and rebooting your computer, because some of them stay in memory.
I see. You've given me a clue, anyways, to go to the Google Chrome and the three dots in the upper right and drop down and play with those little things.
You got it.
I think I can fix it. You gave me some tips here. Thanks, guys.
Perfect.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And we're now seeing a lot of malicious advertising on legitimate web pages. We used to be able to say stay off the porn sites and the pirate sites,
right?
But now legitimate web pages are getting hit with malicious ads, and a lot of things they do is load an extension or an add-on. Firefox does call them add-ons, and they
you also hear the word plugins. That's
plugins,
the same thing.
Yep, and they will often claim to be something like a coupon finder or discount finders. Map finders is another one. Fake flash, fake PDF. There's a lot of fake ones that try to sneak in.
There's also the fact that when you add in a program, they often want to download something else as well.
Right. And many of the times, you don't even have to click on the ad to get infected by this. It's just displaying the ad in your web browser can install this software.
Right.
And so that's becoming more and more need now to run an anti-malware program.
As well as an antivirus program.
And because not all antiviruses can find all the malicious software, because that's now the new trend.
Right, and all the malware programs can't find all the viruses, so you really need to run both.
The other thing a lot of these malicious programs do is will hijack your homepage or your search page and give you something that looks like Yahoo or looks like Google, but it isn't. And then they're intercepting all your search queries and sending you more ads.
Right. One thing we often hear is, if I don't really need an antivirus anymore because nobody's writing new viruses. That's true. But there are still viruses around that were written in the 70s.
Yeah, they're
so still... you still need to run an antivirus program because those things do not die. That's why we call them viruses.
And it's just like anything else, folks, and we've said it before. Just like pictures. We've told you, you know, once a picture is out there, it's out there.
It's out there.
It can be shared 16 million ways from Sunday. And that's the same with viruses, spyware and everything. They're all grouped together. They all live out there, and you've got to do something to still maintain them. Because they could still pop their rear, you know, their head up, if, you know, and rear their ugliness and delete files and everything else if you're not running it.
Right. So you want to be very careful, and you want to be very aware, and you want to be proactive. Run an antivirus program. Run a malware anti-malware program all the time. And then regularly use a program like Super Anti-Spyware to just be that belt and suspenders kind of check.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wearing a belt today, but I do have suspenders.
Yeah. Yes, you do have.
And don't believe any message that pops up on your screen saying there's a problem or asking if your computer is slow. Everyone always thinks their computer is slow.
Right.
And so, well, how does it know? Yeah, imagine all of the employees that companies would have to hire to call every single one of the literally billions of computer users and tell them that they have a problem. How would they know? How would they afford to pay for that? All those messages are fake. In fact,
and why would they want to pay for that?
Yeah. The good guys now can't send you any messages about a problem because you can't believe any message you see. Most of the messages are bad guys. So they generally wait for you to take your machine into a shop. Call us when you think there's a problem.
That's right. Be very aware that the bad guys are out there. If you are running something like a Chromebook, you can just laugh and move on. If you're running Linux or a Mac and you get a message that says your Windows computer has a problem, you can laugh and move on.
If they'd have just taken 10 extra seconds, they could have read the header and known what computer you were on.
Exactly right.
So not only are they malicious guys, they're lazy malicious.
That's right. Yeah, most of them are not particularly good programs. Most of them are script kiddies.
And they're not the brightest crayon in the box.
Exactly right. So be aware, be careful. Generally speaking, although now we have ransomware, of course, it's a separate problem. But generally speaking, if you stop and think, and you read every screen before you say yes, and you uncheck the things you don't want. I get calls all the time. I'm getting this email that I never signed up for. Well, yeah, you did. When you went to that website, you didn't uncheck add me to your mailing list. Or when you installed that program, you didn't uncheck add me to your mailing list. So indeed, you did sign up. You did tacitly agree to get those emails. So you want to read all of those screens before. Everybody just wants to get to the prize at the end, right? So everybody just click, 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 click. Well, take a minute and read. And you know, I've always said the difference between the gurus and the not gurus are we read the screens before we say yes.
Yeah.
But that's,
don't get click happy.
That's one of the ways that you differentiate yourself. So be careful, be aware, take an extra half a minute. And you'll be a lot better off. Yes, if you run a Chromebook, you don't have to worry about any of this stuff. If you run a Mac, you have to worry about less of this stuff. If you run Linux, you worry about less of this stuff. But whatever operating system you're running, you still want to be aware and pay attention because even a Chromebook could add a Chrome extension to the browser portion if you're not careful. So
right, and hijack your homepage and send it to malicious search engines. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there's no sense of getting lazy.
Right.
You definitely don't want to when it comes to your privacy. And that's at stake. Every time you log on to the computer and go out to the internet, you're putting your privacy and your personal information at risk.
Yep.
Because they're all, like we've said before, it's a game of leapfrog. And they're constantly trying to leap over the next patch to get around so they can start stealing information. And you've got to do due diligence. And that's why, sure, we recommend a number of free programs. But in the same token, folks, we recommend those free programs that if you enjoy them and they're doing the job, support them. Because then you can get routine maintenance right in the background. And it can do the updating and everything else automatically for you just for a few bucks a month and knowing that you're secure.
And many times the difference between the free version and the paid version is the automatic scanning. That if you want it to scan all the time, every file you download, that costs a little bit of money. But if you manually run it yourself, whenever you think there's a problem, that's less expensive.
Yeah.
But then by then, it's you're already infected.
But so
and that's the new payload now. It's the crypto miners. Something will try to sneak into your machine and load a crypto miner because that makes money for the bad guys.
Yep.
And suddenly your machine is running really slow.
Yeah, all you notice is that all of a sudden your machine's running slow. And you're thinking, maybe an update. You know, one of Microsoft updates slowed it down a little more. Yeah, no, you've still got to do the maintenance and run those programs because other stuff can sneak in.
Right. So be aware, be careful. It only takes another minute or two to be safe on the internet. So you want to be very careful and you want to be aware. That's all there is to it. Sadly, we really are at the point where it's not as easy as it used to be back in the 70s and 80s. It was the Wild West. And if the viruses that were out there were mostly counting coup, they would just put up a thing on your system that said, you've been caught, ha ha ha, and you know, you could move on. But nowadays, it's malicious. Nowadays, they want your money, they want your identity, they want your credit cards, they want your bank accounts. So you want to be much more careful and much more diligent in paying attention. Your safety is in your hands. And as Americans, that's the way we like it. So be responsible. Be a responsible internet person and be a responsible computer owner and do your due diligence. It doesn't take much. It just takes a little, but you got to do it. So be aware and be careful. There are lots of antivirus programs that are free, as Steve and Dave said, and that's great, but you get better protection generally, faster and easier updates, and deeper protection when you pay for the program. And when you think about it, think how cheap that is compared to the hours you're going to spend trying to reconstruct stuff or repair stuff if you do get hit by something. How much is your time worth? How much are your data worth? Right? That's the big thing. It breaks my heart when somebody says, oh, I've lost all my pictures. When all you have to do is back them up. That's all you have to do.
And there's no excuse not to.
Right.
There's so many programs that you can have do it in the background automatically just by spending a few minutes up front setting it all up.
Right.
That'll do it automatically for you. That, you know, you turn it on, you put any photos, boom, it automatically checks in the background and uploads any folder photos or that to another service.
Right. I've got pictures of my daughter as a baby that I do not ever want to lose. They're in three separate places.
You can always have another baby.
I could, yes. Yes, I could. The one I got, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell that one to Elaine.
Right, right.
She's already not been through all the diapers and everything. To go through that again?
Right. And then that first poo, the green one.
Oh, yeah.
There's a name for it. It's so vile, it has its own name, and it starts with an M, and I can't think of what it is.
Meconium,
thank you. And it's...
lethal.
Yeah. I changed that one. And I told my wife, I've changed the first one. I never have to do it again because that's the bad one. Strangely, that did not work for me.
Probably you and millions of other husbands.
Right, right.
No, it didn't work for me.
Right. But yeah, the meconium, man, that's a bad one.
Sometimes I would get sick and have to go puke.
Yeah.
And my son just kept his legs in the air because he knew.
Yep.
Ready, aim. Yeah.
And that smile they get on their face when you're doing it.
Yeah.
When you're changing them.
It's a great relief for
them. That's right. Service me, slave.
Yeah.
Exactly right. But yeah, so it's very easy to get caught by these viruses. All you have to do, though, is be a little diligent, and you should be fairly safe. Maybe not 100% safe, but certainly in the high 90s. So that's an important thing to be aware of. And it doesn't matter what operating system you have. Like I said, you cannot get a virus on a Chromebook, at least not yet. There are none. And most malicious programs will not find a toehold. But you can get a malicious extension because it's still Chrome. So you still want to be aware and you still want to be careful and you still want to be diligent about keeping your systems clean and reading everything before you say yes.
And the FBI doesn't want you to go to Walmart and buy money packs to stay out of jail.
No legitimate company takes money packs or Apple iTunes gift cards or any of that nonsense as payment for anything. So, no. My wife got an email. A text message that said, we have received your payment of 12 bitcoins.
Wow.
Yeah, and there was a link. And she said, what do I do? So you erase it. She said, well, what if it's... I said, Elaine, do you have any idea? You don't have 12 bitcoins worth of money. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, no. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a longer break. First hour's over. We're done for this hour, but we have another hour coming up, so don't go away. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and, oh, with you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. You're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on Jazz 90.1. And we're going to the phones. But before we do that, I should tell you, you can give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415, and we will be happy to not only take your call, but take your question and make up a plausible answer, just as we're about to do for Tom from Brighton. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. So, you know, you guys are always talking about how important it is to have backups, and I've certainly been doing that.
Good.
I started out using CrashPlan, but they sort of dropped their normal residential type customers. So I switched over to another one, Carbonite.
Right.
And that was pretty easy to use. It had a nice user interface. I had them for about a year. But recently, they've raised their prices very substantially. I have three computers to keep backed up. It would cost me $300 a year to do that with Carbonite. So I decided to switch over to something else. I got a recommendation from PC Magazine. They rated some various backup programs, and they gave iDrive the top rating for, you know, capability, features, and price. And sure enough, they have a nice introductory price. It's something like, I don't know, $15 for a year for as many computers as you want. It does have an upper limit of about, less than 400 gigabytes for backup, which is enough for me.
Right.
But I installed it, and I'm having some difficulty. First of all, it's a very, I find the terminology and the labeling and the user interface rather complicated. But more important than that, it after backing up about 150 gigs, it stopped. In other words, no additional backups or no additional data is being backed up. And I don't understand how that's happening, because I didn't have any problems with the earlier types of backup programs that I used. And I'm wondering if you're familiar with this particular backup program.
Not one that I have used, and so I'm not particularly familiar with it, I'm afraid. But it's have you filled the space you were given? Because you only get 5 gigs free.
No, but with a $15 introductory price, they give you 400 gigs to back up.
All right, and how full is that?
I've only used 150 so far, and it won't back up any additional data.
I wonder if there's another limitation to the trial, because I've seen some of these trials where it won't back up photos and videos.
Because those
are the biggest things, and those are the things you really want backed up.
Right.
But as part of the trial, it won't.
If I read everything correctly, it seemed to indicate that for the first year, you do get your 400 gigs for that first year. I will try to call them, of course. I haven't done that yet. Or maybe not call, but email them as best I can.
The other one that I have used with several of our customers is Backblaze.
They also get a very high rate.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're $60 a year per computer.
Per computer, yes.
Yeah, I think iDrive said it was $55, so it's a little bit less for iDrive.
iDrive, that's their normal price, I believe, is $55, but again, they have this introductory thing for, rock bottom $15. You can't argue with that, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to get this working. I notice when I go to their log, it says a lot of files, when they try to back them up, it says failure, not authorized to back up or something like that, don't have permissions to.
Yeah. There's a couple of things. It depends on whether that error message is coming from the backup software or your operating system. If it's coming from iDrive, then, as Steve said, it may have something to do with what you're allowed to back up during the trial.
Yeah.
If it's coming from your computer, it may mean that you don't own that file, or it's locked for some reason, like it's open or the pro. What we often find on particularly on Windows machines, but on all machines, is that if a program you're running crashes, the file that was open, say a Word document, is locked, and there are certain things you cannot do with it.
Sure. But, Carbonite was backing everything up pretty reliably, so I don't know what the difference would be.
Yeah. Did you completely uninstall Carbonite?
Actually, I did not uninstall it. I didn't think that it would be a conflict there. That's a good point.
It's possible that Carbonite has the files locked for backup.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility. I've also been looking at Duplicati, but then you got to have your own place, I think, to store stuff.
Some people will get 2 hard drives and rotate them off-site themselves.
Right. Well, this does give you cloud backup. That's the idea behind iDrive.
So with a second hard drive, you can have your own off-site backup.
Yeah. Well, it is good to have both a local backup and a cloud backup.
Yeah.
Right. Duplicati, it's one I've been looking at. It does run under Linux. It needs Mono, however, and I don't want to install that. But it's one of many types of products that will let you encrypt and compress and store things using FTP or SSH or WebDev or OneDrive or Amazon Cloud or Google Drive or Box.com or,
there was a service that scraped all of the 5 gig free options from all of those backup services and condensed it all into one giant service.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah,
but there are a lot.
The crash plan stopped, servicing home users because they had a very nice service. And you could do local backups and cloud backups, and the price I felt was reasonable. But they didn't find it economically to their advantage, and they gave it up. And the crash plan took a lot of their customers, including me.
Right.
But now they're starting to raise their prices.
Well, Crash Plan was suggesting Carbonite when they...
Yes, they were. That's why I went to them. Yes.
Yeah.
But now Carbonite is expensive as well.
Yeah.
So Crash Plan is now offering $10 per month per device. That's less than Carbonite's $60. Excuse me.
Yeah. But that's for... They are focusing on business customers as opposed to home users. At least that's what they claim when they stopped servicing us a year ago or so.
Well, yeah, and especially small business users. You've got your QuickBooks file on your computer. You're a small business. Just the one of me. I'm a very small business.
Mm-hmm. Right. Did we talk about Backblaze?
Yeah.
Yes, you did. You mentioned it. And that was another highly rated one by PC Magazine. They gave it a pretty high rating.
Right.
But they also, with some limitation, it's one, what am I saying? I think it's one user, and then there's some upper limit to what you can back up. The combination of the cost and the backup size made me go toward iDrive.
So. Yeah, the computer backup is $60 a year per computer for unlimited data.
Right, yeah. Which I guess is not bad. But again, if you have three computers, that's $180. Over 10 years, you're talking $1,800, you know.
Right. But then again, we go back to what's your data worth.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And that was the other thing CrashPlan had that was really nice, is you could put a hard drive at your buddy's house.
Yes.
And back up to that for free. And so that was your offsite backup on, you just made your own clone.
But wait a minute.
You can do that yourself if you manually set all that up.
Yeah.
You brought up the point of, three computers.
Right.
You know, why not just centralize it and have it down to one?
Or a single file server that all three computers store their files on.
And then you're just backing up that one.
That is an idea. Of course, there's another barrier for a lot of people to set up a server, but once you get over that
even if you have an external hard drive, there's a lot of them out there that you can set up that it's an external hard drive that everybody can save their data to.
You also can if you really wanted to do this, you could take your one machine, the one with the most amount of storage, and then automatically take all the data off the other two to that one, and then back that one up to CrashPlan.
Mm-hmm.
Or Backblaze.
Yeah, just get it down to the one. Yeah, the one. You don't have to have all three, like you were saying, $180 a year. Yeah.
Okay. Well, a little more thinking to do about it.
But yeah.
Did
you say you tried emailing iDrive tech support?
I haven't gotten to them yet, but that's my next step. I just started this last week. So mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. You know, I mean, you can cut some of the cost down or time at least. You can upload all your photos to Google Photos for free. And then you're only having to worry about any documents.
Well, the problem with that is Google Photos is a sync. So if you delete a photo on purpose or on accident, it's deleted from Google.
No, it works the other way. If you delete it from the cloud, it deletes it on your device.
Yeah.
But if you delete it from your device, it does not delete it from your cloud.
I'm constantly getting messages from Google Photos saying, are you sure you want to delete this from Google Photos because you deleted it on your computer?
No. I've deleted stuff on my computer.
Maybe you can set it on a Mac. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they renamed it Google Backup and Sync.
Right.
I think we have a difference of opinion here.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, it may do different things on an Apple device versus a Google device.
Right.
It's a good old Macs again.
Yeah.
Okay, well, a little work to do here, but thanks very much for your advice. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yep. and there is a site called alternative2.net. That's TO2, the word two. Alternative2.net. We've had it up before, but Steve will put it up again. And you can go there and type in Carbonite or whatever, and you can see all the various alternatives to that program. And how many likes they've gotten, although that doesn't mean all that much, and whether they're free or commercial or freemium, and what operating systems they work at. Go read a little more about them. Go to the website and look at them. So, in general, there are 62, for example, alternatives to Carbonite.
Yeah. Something I'll look that up. So that's alternative to the number two?
No, the word two, T-O.
Oh, T-T-W-O. Okay.
No, T-O.
T-O, just T-O. Okay.
The other
right,
two.
As in it's
gotcha.
An alternative to something.
Gotcha. Thanks again.
Yep-er.
Thank you.
Bye. That's a great site. I use that for so many things. It's crowdsourced. So on the one hand, you're getting a certain amount of self-selected prejudice on any of these things. But it's also, because it's crowdsourced, you've got 100 million people
mm-hmm.
all giving their opinions. So that works out pretty nicely. It evens out all the way around. So if you're looking for anything, an alternative to anything, and there are the... You can specifically look for stuff for Windows or Mac or Linux or the web or iPhone or Android. You can look for the ones that are only commercial or only free and et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of choices, a lot of ways to look things up. One
other thing that I got to mention there is, you know, you happen to bring up a very good point. There's a lot of them out there. And there's a lot of opinions. And people take, like they say, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one.
And they're all full of lint.
Yeah. And no one wants to see it.
And
right.
The thing that is, though, is you might find, you know, you're looking into this one particular program and it fits your needs. But yet somebody else might be bashing it.
Right.
Look at it and read the sources, you know, and reviews of and what it wants to do. If that fits your need, because the other person, it might not be right for them. That's why they have so many different programs. And you've got to do your homework and look these over, read what it'll do, what it can't do, and everything else. Read some of the reviews. But again, determine on what your needs are. And look at the reviews somewhat. But don't go by just one. Oh, well, this guy hates it. But yet there could be 20 that are sitting there saying, oh, this is great. And it does this, this, and this.
Right.
So, you know, take your time and do it. Just don't quick glance and boom.
And part of the problem is that some less scrupulous companies will hire people to write good reviews for their stuff.
Yeah.
And bad reviews for other companies' competitor stuff.
Always.
So I know people that just automatically throw out the ones and the fives because you can't trust them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So look
right.
for four, maybe. Yeah.
Right. And these guys are right. These things are strictly beginning points.
Yeah.
You know, you're a unique individual, and you need to understand that your situation is going to be at least subtly, if not grossly, different from the next person's.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you set things up and the way you do things is going to be different from theirs. So... which alternative works best for you? My backup methods are things I wrote in Linux that may not work for you.
Well, the simplest thing to think of, folks, and I can put it in this terms, is just like your mouse. Your mouse, you can either set it up to be a left-handed mouse or a right-handed mouse on the PC side. Now, most folks use right, but for a left-handed person, it's awkward as all get out,
right.
And they want to switch it, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's still, you know, a mouse and does it. You just got to sit there and feel what's best for you.
Right. It's exactly right. So be aware, be careful, and think
fun.
For yourself.
We had a question in YouTube chat about what's the best antivirus that you like for Linux machines.
I like ClamAV, but I've also been looking at Sophos. Recently, I started, I haven't played with it yet, but I've started to look at it. Just yesterday, in fact, which is why I haven't done anything with it yet. ClamAV is built in. It comes with the operating system, and it has worked magnificently for me so far. But I'm always testing and checking things out, and the one I'm looking to check now is ClamAV, is Sophos, which has an antivirus for Linux, and it looks like it's free. But right now, the one I've used for years and certainly has kept my machine clean is ClamAV. And in fact, I've got a series of test viruses
mm-hmm.
That I've downloaded from various places. And every once in a while, I move them onto my hard drive and then
see what happens. Yeah.
See what happens. And so far, it's worked great.
The Mac port of Clam X went commercial a little while ago.
Really?
Yeah. And that shocked me.
That is shocking.
When I went back and looked. If you can use the Linux version and cross-compile it for BSD.
Right.
That would probably work.
Right.
But it's $30 a year, which isn't bad. And that goes back to what we were saying, that a lot of the small programs, they don't cost very much. And it's the protection you get for having something like that. But, you know, as Dave said earlier, the business versions were supposed to subsidize the personal versions. And for some companies, they don't as much.
Right.
Right. It's multi-threaded and all this other stuff. It's very cool. It's a very cool product. All right. Here's we talked earlier a little bit about Google Chrome. And here's the thing I like. Google is currently working on adding a new feature to the Chrome web browser designed to automatically unload ads, which use an outrageous amount of system resources in an effort to shrink the browser's CPU and network footprint. At the moment, the messages that get displayed in place of the unloaded heavy ads are ad removed, and this ad uses too many resources for your device, so Chrome removed it. This change is part of a larger move designed to allow Google Chrome to make website ads a lot more friendly, seeing that the browser is blocking a whole range of abusive or misleading advertisements since the release of version 71. That's right, if you're using Chrome, any version after 70, so 71 or above, it's blocking a whole lot of abusive or misleading ads. Among the abusive ads included in Chrome's blacklist are ones that promote malware, have hidden click areas, feature fake mouse pointers, use non-interactive redirects, contain fake messages and alerts, are used in phishing campaigns, and generally display misleading behavior. While in December 2018, when Chrome 71 was released, the abusive ads were only blocked in North America and Europe. In January 2019, Google announced that they will be expanding this ad filtering scheme to the rest of the world starting with July 9th, 2019. So this Tuesday, all our overseas listeners, and there are hundreds of you, will be able to get the newer version of Google Chrome that also does this ad blocking. To filter the ads, Chrome follows the Better Ads standard to discover if a site is displaying abusive ad experiences. Additionally, Google also announced that AdSense is now sending alerts to website owners regarding the upcoming changes to Chrome's ad blocking capabilities so that they can check their pages are in compliance with the Better Ads standards. In January, Chromium developers started working on adding support for automatic blocking of drive-by downloads originating from website iframes. There's some technical jargon for you, which is one of the techniques used by attackers to drop malware payloads on vulnerable machines with or without user interaction. That was followed by a public design document from March that disclosed Google's ads to add automated barring of all downloads initiated from within ad frames which lack user activation. So those changes should all be coming out soon. They are not here yet. Don't call and tell us it's not working for you because it's not out yet. But it will be out shortly, so stay tuned. And which browser do you use most? And why? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. It's an interesting dichotomy that Google is trying to walk a very thin line here. On the one hand, they make their money off of ads.
Yeah.
On the other hand, people hate ads. So if they want to maintain their dominance in the browser area, they have to worry about what ads they block, because what people don't want to see are ads that have that are annoying or malicious. There are sites I will no longer go to because they autoplay video,
yep,
and I can't get them to stop, even with on video blocked.
Oh, I hate that.
They still play them. So I just don't go to those sites anymore.
The browsers are trying to build that in now, too, that
right,
you can block autoplay videos, and then the advertisers are figuring ways around them.
Right.
Like I say, it's a game of leapfrog.
Yeah. Right. I just simply don't go to those sites anymore. I've got them blocked in my hosts file. So if I do click on one, it goes to a blank page on my site that says, yeah, you didn't want this anyway. So, okay, look, I get it. And I feel hypocritical about this because most of my websites have ads on them. And, you know, I would love to actually make some money off of those ads. I don't because so many of them are blocked. Which is why I have a donate button on most of my websites that nobody clicks on either. I get it. Everybody wants everything for free. But honestly, I don't, for example, with the Security Tango, I'm not as quick to update it as I used to be because it's not making me any money. I'm sorry, but life is what it is.
If there was a way for the ad industry to better police themselves, so right. The crappy ads would stop getting into your feed, I don't think people would mind.
That's right. That's exactly right.
We're used to watching ads on TV, or at least tuning them out.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites.
Still.
Still unbelievable, isn't it? This week's Android July 2019 patch update will fix 33 security vulnerabilities, including 9 marked critical and 24 marked high. If you own a Pixel device, a Google Pixel device, you should have already received it, or at least a notice that it's ready to download.
Already got it.
Already got mine.
Yep, me too. Leaving everybody else running Android 7, 8, or 9 to wait. Anything from weeks to months to catch up. As usual, July's batch of fixes covers flaws in significant parts of Android, including system, framework, library, and Qualcomm's numerous components, including closed-source software. However, as has been the case for some months, it's the media framework that provides a disproportionate amount of the patching action in the form of 3 remote code execution bugs marked critical. In contrast to Microsoft's patch Tuesday, Google rarely offers much detail on individual flaws during the initial patch release, restricting itself to the following generalization. The most secure vulnerability in this section, the most severe vulnerability in this section, could enable a remote attacker using a specifically crafted file to execute arbitrary code within the context of a privileged process. Google is able to be this vague primarily because they have no reports of active customer exploitation or abuse of these newly reported issues. If you own a Huawei device, these should receive this month's update without issue. As for updates after August, the company is due to make an announcement soon based on the yes, no, maybe business going on with Washington. And users can find more information about all of that on Huawei's website. Depending on the version of Android, a device's patch level can be determined in Settings, About Phone, Android Security Patch Level. For Android 9, you can find it in Settings, System, Advanced, System Updates. How up-to-date is your Android phone? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
I think mine is slowly dying.
Oh, your battery, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can have it at 98% after, you know, I just unplug it, and then it goes 98%. I can look at maybe a few emails and maybe a YouTube quick video. And all of a sudden, I'm down to 78%.
Yeah. Knock on wood, mine's still doing pretty good.
It's not holding a charge for beans.
Yeah,
and it drains fast. I mean, like I say, I can be just looking at some news items. Yep. Right on down. Yep.
I was very upset. I discovered on Friday that on Thursday, Google was selling Pixel 3As for $200. I didn't see that. Google was directly, but I didn't see that until Friday. So I missed out. Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, the fact is that, look, if you've got, here's the problem. When Google updates their operating system, well, let's start with Apple. When Apple updates their operating system, they just send it to everybody. When Google updates their operating system, they send it immediately to Google Pixel phones. With everybody else, the carrier has to do something with it. First it's the manufacturer, then it's the carrier, then you get it. So we can take anything from weeks to months to years.
Yeah, it could take quite a long time.
The big dog has to be the last one to mark the tree. I get that. But
and the problem is a lot of the real cheap Android phones never get an update
ever
because the carrier and the phone manufacturer, the phone manufacturer doesn't care, so they never release it, so then the carrier can't do anything.
Right. And so that's why if you bought one of those cheap, I bought an $11 Android phone.
Yeah, I was looking at
one of those. What they used to call burner phones,
yep.
Right? $11. It will never run anything but Android 7.1 ever. But I, as I've said many times, I use it as an iPod.
Yep.
So it's my iPod.
I'm looking to get one for my Rocket Telemetry app.
There you go. And so for that, I don't need anything more.
The problem is, that might work. If I get a SIM card, we fly rockets once a month. So on that one day, I'll use some data.
Right.
But not the rest of the month.
Right. Right.
So I got to find a plan that will let me do that. Most of the pay-as-you-go plans, you have to put on, every 3 months, you have to put on $20.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't use $20 in a year
right.
of data that way.
Right. If you have an Android phone and it's from Google, you will get the latest update, including all these critical and severes, immediately. You've probably already got them if you have a Pixel phone. If you do not, then it's up to the manufacturer and the carrier as to whether or not if you get these updates. So you might want to, if enough people complain enough to somebody like Samsung or whoever, Samsung's pretty good, but you're still, that vulnerability is out there, and I'm safe, you're safe.
Yeah.
But other people are not safe right now.
That's one thing. If I'm forced to get another phone, it will be definitely another Pixel phone. I have loved that from the day one. That was the best decision I made when I had, literally, you talk about burner phones?
Yeah.
No, I had the true definition.
You had a burner phone.
A burner phone.
Blazing Dave Enright.
And I'm so glad. I sat there and, looked like that guy like he had a third eye when he's telling me, I can't walk out with my phone.
Right.
And it's like, you're going to try to stop me? Well, it could burn up. And I said, and I could get hit by a garbage truck. Yeah. No, I was waiting. I waited that week and so glad I did because I was so stunned when I first turned it on. Because I looked at it and it's like, and I looked at the girl.
Yeah.
That told me about it. And she goes, look at this. I go, there's not much on it.
Right.
She goes, exactly. She goes, they don't load it with all this junk. You put on just what you want. I go, huh?
Yeah.
She goes, they don't preload it. Super.
Yeah, this phone, for example, has never seen Facebook.
Yeah.
It has never seen Twitter.
Yeah, it's like unbelievable. I had to, if I wanted the messaging program, I had to download
right.
and put it on.
Right.
That was so cool.
Right. And so that's the thing I like about the Pixel phones. And I am lusting after the 3A XL. I have to admit it.
Yeah, but see, I'd like it too, but I really don't want to because I just got this one. It's still working. But
yeah. And the 4 is coming in September, and
yeah, but what are they going to want for that?
Well, that's going to be the flagship phone. It'll be in the close to $1,000 range, just like the iPhones and just like the Samsung phones.
The 3A XL is a nice phone. It does everything I want. Nice big screen. I don't have to worry about front and rear cameras and doing panoramics and all this other stuff. I mean, as it is, folks, you know, taking a phone and doing just surfing the web and everything, that's more than the average phones, you know, we used to laugh about when I was carrying around that brick. And other folks had it, you know, this is all I need. You know, I'm able to call people portably. Yeah, everything. Now you see everybody walking around with their face down, buried in their phone, or they're at dinner. And everybody's sitting there face down because they got a tweet or, you know, yeah, I'm having this chicken or blah, 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 back and forth with other people who could care less of what you're eating for a meal. But yet they got to have their, you know, noses into those screens.
Right.
So. I like how some of the restaurants have given in and now there's a tablet on the table so you can text in your order. You can text a request for, you know, drink refills.
Right.
Well, a lot of them, you know, so just go ahead and you don't have to wait for, you know, the waiter to show up.
You can pay your bill.
Yeah.
You can split bills. That's really nice.
But I just like the feature.
Just don't be the last person. So the guys ahead of you forgot to add their thing on it, and they're gone by now.
Yeah. Right.
But like you said, though, the feature of being able to pay, because sometimes waitresses and they get so busy. You know, it's like, and they're just be able to sit there and swipe it, get a receipt, and out the door you go.
Yeah, right.
I like that feature.
Right. It's $479. The only things I don't like about it, the 3A XL, I still would love to have wireless charging again. That is, you have no idea how convenient that is.
Yeah, once you have it, you can't give it up.
Yeah. I would prefer to have 128 gig of storage, not 64.
I'm noticing my 32 is full again.
You see? And I would very much like to have what do they call it? The waterproofing and dustproofing. The
water resistance. IP 68.
Yeah, 68. Which the XL doesn't have. On the other hand, the XL is $479, and that's list price. You can get it at less. So, you know, how much of that stuff do you really need?
Free with contract.
Right, and it's free with your contract. It's actually $20 a month. 24 monthly payments.
Yep.
Now, when you... The thing
but,
about...
But don't you ahead. Want the Pixel 4 next year?
Well, that's just it. Do I want to wait for the Pixel 4?
Actually, did you hear about the leak?
No.
There was some, one of the typical Android pages was talking about leaked photos of the Android, the Pixel 4, and its big giant square camera bump on the back. And so the official Made by Google Twitter handle said, there seems to be some interest, and posted an actual picture.
Nice.
It's not coming out until October, I think.
Yeah,
it is.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, but again, like you were saying, though, $1,000.
Well, that's a lot of money. And is that $1,000? And the nice thing about the Pixel 3A is you get the headphone jack. Thank you very much. I certainly don't have a problem with that. And I think it's got a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, which is pretty big these days.
Yeah. Well, that's what we've been saying right along.
It's a 5,000. I was going to bring it in to show you guys. A 5,000 milliamp hour battery in my airplane. And it's there's the camera. It's literally that big.
Yeah,
it's huge.
You could build it. Well, but you could build a phone around that easily.
No, it's that all the way around.
Oh, that all the way around. Oh. Okay, that's not so good then.
It's, yeah, like, no. It's like it's an inch and a half square and 4 inches long.
Well, that's what we've been saying, though. The manufacturers are going the wrong way. They keep saying, oh, it's getting thinner and thinner and thinner. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Most go people, a little bit bigger and yep. give me more battery.
Most
and,
people wouldn't mind an extra millimeter or two to get another hour out of their battery.
Well, that's what we've been saying right along. And, you know, oh, it's a lot, you know, it's a lot thinner. And yeah, then you put a protective case on it, or you put it in these big things, you know, these cases with the covers on them and everything else. And it's like, they're huge now. Or put them in a Frogger case.
Right. And the thing I most like about the Pixel 3a XL, that camera. Holy moly, that's a fine camera.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show, that I've almost given up my real camera.
Yeah.
Because my 12-megapixel phone camera
is better.
Is better.
Yeah.
The only thing it doesn't have is the super zoom on it that I like.
Yeah, it doesn't
and
super
I can
zoom.
Get an extra lens on the outside if I want.
Right. And, of course, the Pixel 3, the Pixel line has the night sight and all of that stuff. I've taken pictures in the evening and indoors and all of that that come out perfectly lit without flash and without that weird...
And that's their picture on their advertising as a fireworks display.
Right.
Although the big question, are you going to get just black, purple-ish, or clearly white?
Right. It's a very, very tough choice, but I think just black is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I kind of like that purple-ish.
I do, too, though. I have to say, I do kind of like the purple-ish. But yeah, if there was a greenish, I would probably go there immediately.
Royal blue.
Royal blue would be okay. But
how much will Google give me for my iPhone 7?
Try it. They have a trade-in program. See what Apple's on there.
Yep, I'll see what Apple will give me and what Google will give me.
Yeah, there you go. And then your choices are against a $500 phone or a $900 phone.
So that Google sale.
It was one day. It was July 4th.
And what was the 64 gig version? Or?
Yeah, it's the only choice you get with a 3A XL.
Okay.
Ooh, they'll give me $100.
Give you $100. Now you're down to 300.
Yeah. Let's see what Apple will give me.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I have a crack on my screen. So if I lie and say there's no crack on the screen, let's see what it says.
Well, did you see those new kits for repairing the screen?
I got $150 if there's no crack.
Very nice.
Yeah, but did you see those kits for repairing screens?
I've seen some of those. You put
the liquid on it, and then you put this patch over it. You let it dry. You peel that off, and then you got to scrape. It's like liquid glass.
It's the stuff they use when you get a chip in your windshield.
Yeah, well, they show it for that, too.
It's the same stuff.
Do the repair for that.
Yeah, it's very cool. But, I just keep getting more and more. Although I believe my wife is going to need a new phone, so I believe she'll get one first. It still works. I still have plenty of charge.
Because you're the magnanimous husband.
Yeah. I want to sleep with both eyes closed at night. Less magnanimous than self-preservation. Magnanimity than self-preservation. I think that we're and the other thing it has is that Titan M security chip and stuff. So there's a lot of nice things to it. And one of the things that, again, I've been very upset about with my last couple of phones, and they were lovely phones. They were great Samsung phones, but they took forever to get to updates. And that makes me angry because when it's a security update, I don't want to wait.
Yep. No, I agree with you 100%.
With this phone, I got the update on, I think, the 3rd. And I read about it on the 4th.
that's the other thing, too. You know, I guess I've gotten so used to now that I see when I go to unplug my phone because it's been charging all night. Oh, please restart your phone because there has been an update.
Right.
And it did it overnight while I was sleeping. And
all I have to do is restart.
Hit the restart button. By the time I make it downstairs, it's already rebooted and ready to go.
So I told you that's last week. This thing updated while I was in here during the break. I rebooted. It took all the 10 seconds, and I was back up.
There you go.
Done. It's the wave of the future, I think. There's no reason to have to wait anymore.
Instant gratification.
Well, that's exactly right. And with my Linux box, unless it's an actual kernel update, I don't even reboot.
Mm-hmm.
I just do the update and keep doing whatever I'm doing and I'm done. Yes, if I update Chrome, I have to shut down Chrome. If I update Thunderbird, I have to shut down Thunderbird. That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, that's.
But I don't have to reboot the system. So we're finding that these new ways of doing things are much more user friendly than the old. Okay, you have to restart your system because we updated Minesweeper.
Yeah.
What? So that's very nice, and we find that more and more people are asking why doesn't my operating system do that? Quite frankly, I use my Chromebook, and there just are no viruses for it. There's no way to get a virus on it. It checks itself every time I boot it up to see if there's been a problem. Why doesn't your operating system do that? It should do that, and so few of them really do. I think there's a sea change coming, and we'll see what happens.
One of the big problems is the investment in backward compatibility. That the Chromebook had the advantage of being based on the Chrome browser, which was already pretty popular. But right. If someone tries to write an OS from scratch that won't work with any of your current programs, and to make it work with the current programs, you have to add the vulnerabilities.
Right, pretty much. That's true. All right, that music tells us we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank Dave Enright. I should probably thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow, so you're fairly safe in listening. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to each other, will you?